Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church. This message from Pastor Jonathan McCullough is titled, Seeing Beyond the Moment. You can listen to more recorded sermons on our website at brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.
Let me say, first of all, we're going to do our Mother's Day celebration at the end of the service because we want our kids to be a part of it. So we're going to bring however many there are. I know we are packed here this morning. But we're going to bring them in and we're going to line the front, however we can pack them in here like sardines. And we're going to get them in and we're going to celebrate the mothers at the conclusion of the sermon. And so stay with us. We do have a gift. Amen. So Becky, we need to take pictures of the gift and put it on Facebook. I mean, never mind. I'm just kidding. Today's a special day, isn't it? Yes. Praise the Lord. Today is the day that we celebrate the toughest, baddest. I thought I was tough till I watched my wife have our first child. And I realized in that moment I can't take that little thing. But they're the most wonderful people on the planet. Today's Mother's Day. And if you're a mother and you're here with us today, we celebrate you. We thank God for you. Thank you for your commitment to your family. Thank you for your commitment and your selfless love that you extend every day. Your patience. Boy, do y'all have patience. Sometimes. But thank you for giving us a tremendous opportunity to be able to celebrate Mother's Day with you today. You know, Mother's Day, since 2016, it's kind of bittersweet for me. That's when I said bye to my sweet mama, November the 30th of 2016. And I woke up this morning, and of course we celebrate with Becky, and the kids celebrate with her. But I immediately, man, just overcome with a little bit of sadness. I don't know why we were so sad, because they're in a lot better place than we are. She's celebrating. Yeah. She's probably thinking, Jonathan, would you stop? All right, I'm in a better place, but she's not with us today. And so Mother's Day is a little bittersweet for me, and I know it is for many people in this place. And so we don't only celebrate those mothers that are with us today that we have. We celebrate those that have gone on. So I encourage you today, say their name. Talk about them. Yeah. Tell stories. Amen. Share the stories. Remember the good times. Remember all those times you've had. And celebrate with them in any way that you can. Happy Mother's Day today. Happy Mother's Day. Topical sermons. When you get to certain occasions, I guess I could say sermons for certain occasions, they can be tough. And I always dread them when they start coming up on us because you just don't know which route to take. You know, you think preachers are supposed to have it all together. You know, we're supposed to know exactly what we're supposed to preach at every moment in time, but that's not the case. Occasional sermons are tough. But a few months ago, I was doing an evening devotion. I'm making my way through Charles Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional. And my evening devotion included the text that we're going to read this morning. When I was finished up with the devotion, I took my journal out and I wrote the passage down. And in my heart, I felt like this could possibly be Mother's Day message. I kind of forgot about it. And then about a month later, our Bible in a year plan that we're doing together as a church, it brought us through Genesis. And it brought us through the same passage. And the passage jumped off the page at me again. And I felt the Lord impress me. That is the message for Mother's Day. And my first reaction to that was, God, are you sure? That was my first reaction. Like I needed to ask the God of the universe if he was sure about the passage I needed to preach. But I did wrestle with the passage, but I know that he knows what he's doing. Amen. And so we're gonna be in Genesis chapter 35 this morning. Genesis chapter 35, and we're gonna look at three verses of scripture, but stay there because there's a few other passages surrounding our text for today that we're going to look at. Genesis chapter 35, verses 16 through 18. I'll go ahead and wet my whistle. I'm going to try not to be 15 minutes late this Sunday, too. You're welcome. Genesis 35, verses 16 through 18. Are you there?
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you're not, say, wait a minute, preacher. All right. Genesis 35, verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, talking about Jacob and his family. They journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Read that last verse again. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. I want to preach this morning on this thought on this Mother's Day 2025. Can y'all believe we've made it? As a kid, I thought we'd be flying in cars like the Jetsons. 2025. Years fly by, don't they? The older you get, it's like a snowball running downhill. It just gains momentum and goes faster and faster. Today, I want to preach on this thought, seeing beyond the moment. Seeing beyond the moment. Can we pray together? Father, we just thank you, Lord. I thank you for the people, Lord, that you've entrusted us today. I thank you for the people that have gathered in your house. I see new faces, Lord. I see faces I haven't seen in a while. Lord, I thank you that they're here. God, you've prepared this day, Lord, this sermon, this message for this hour, Lord. You knew every person that would be assembled in this house. And so, Lord, as the spokesman, as the one who is nothing but a vessel, Lord, a mouthpiece, I'm humbled, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll take the words of my mouth, Lord, and that they would not be my own, but they would be what the Spirit says to the church. I pray that you'll help me to step out of the way, Lord. Remove the distractions that may try to occupy my mind, Lord. Pray for clarity of thought, clarity of expression, Lord. And I pray, Father, that this message will touch every heart in this place today. Help us today, Lord, to see beyond the moment. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You see what I meant when I said, are you sure about the text? That doesn't feel like a Mother's Day passage at all. It's kind of sad. It wraps up verse 18. It seems to be sad. And if you view the story from that single moment of verse 18, then on the surface it is dark and hopeless. A son is born, yes, but it's at the expense of his mother. One life is born, but one life is lost. Rachel, Jacob's wife, the woman he loved with all of his heart, is gone. In that single moment, in this one solitary experience, it feels like defeat, doesn't it? But I want to encourage you this morning. Our lives are not encapsulated in one moment. Our lives are a series of interconnected moments that together, God and his sovereignty paints a picture not of defeat, but a picture of hope. But we have to step away from the confines of one bad moment if we're going to see it. Our story this morning is more than one moment. If one moment defined us, then Samson's end would have been a tragedy. If one moment defined us, then Christ on the cross would have been a tragedy. But those single moments are only part of a bigger story that God is telling with our lives. Amen? Amen? But we have to have eyes to see beyond the single moment. Because this is what happens if we're not careful. If we're not careful, we'll allow the sorrow of the one moment to steal the joy from the whole story that God wants to tell. In our text, Rachel almost did that. She almost did that. We see the struggle in a mother's fight. A mother's fight. You have to understand who Rachel is. Rachel was a woman who had it together. She was put together. Really, from the very beginning, she was born the daughter of Laban, who was a wealthy farmer in Canaan, who had all kinds of flocks. The Bible calls him wealthy. And so she was born into a little bit of affluence. Rachel had a sister named Leah, but the Bible clearly lets us know that Rachel was the pretty one. Ain't that awful? That's the reason I hate beauty pageants. I'm not going to get on that subject.
But Genesis 29, verse 17 distinguishes between the two. It says that Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel, it says, was beautiful and well-favored. You know, I never had that problem. Nobody ever looked at me and said, oh, he's the handsome one. Not one time have I ever heard that. But Rachel, the Bible says, was fair to look on. She was easy on the eyes. She stuck out from everybody else. All of Laban's kids, she stuck out from them. She garnered the attention from a young man one day. A fella named Jacob rolled into town. Stopped at a well to draw water, and all of a sudden in the distance he saw that pretty thing walking his way.
Hey there. I don't know how you change your voice. I don't know how that happened.
They don't do that anymore. They Snapchat. You don't know how they say it. You're hoping that what you get is what you think you're going to get. We used to have to talk to each other. Amen. But Jacob rolls into town. He sees her there at the well, and he walks up and introduces himself. I'm Jacob. Boys, pay attention. The pickup line of the ages. I'm your aunt's son. That's what he said. Only in the Old Testament would you start a pickup line with, hey, I'm your cousin. Either that or Kentucky. One of the two. It was different back then. But Laban asked Jacob what he would want in exchange for 7 years of labor. And Jacob said, I'll work 7 years if you'll give me that girl's hand in marriage. And we know the story. He played an awful trick on him. He worked for seven, and he woke up next to Leah the next morning. And he said, oh, Lord, what have I done? First of all, I don't know how you don't catch that. But he didn't catch it. And it was too late. And so what happens is he goes to Laban and he says, listen, I'll work seven more years. I gotta have Rachel. I want Rachel. And for 14 years, he served Laban. This girl must have been something else. She had it together. Her whole life was that way. Challenges came and they went. They're met with courage. They were met with resiliency. Rachel seemed to always figure things out. That was everything except one thing. And that was the ability to have children. That's one thing that Rachel couldn't fix on her own. She fought for years. She struggled for years. Did everything that she could to possibly fix it. She even gave Jacob her servant. This is another weird thing about back then. She gave Jacob her servant to have as a surrogate mother, she could have children on Rachel's behalf. She tried everything. And when she couldn't fix it, after years of trying to fix it herself, God remembered Rachel. The Bible says that he blessed her and he opened up her womb to give her a son. And what a son he was. We all know his story. We can quote his story verbatim. His name was Joseph. Joseph the dreamer who had the dream, and he went through all kinds of things to see that dream come to pass. But that was her first son. And then, just when she thought that it was a one and done, Rachel found herself pregnant again. This is where everything seems to be going perfect. This is when life is on a mountaintop. We've walked through the struggle, we've walked through the valley, and life just seems to be just right. Jacob has a passel of youngins. The wife he loves is pregnant with her second child. Everything is wonderful. Let me show you how wonderful it actually was. Look at the same chapter, verse 9. Just a few verses ahead. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Everything is going so good for this family that God himself meets with Jacob. Jacob, remember who you are. You're Israel, you're not Jacob. And he begins to share the same promise to him that he shared with his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. Verse 11, God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and the company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob had the right response. He set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. I mean, could things be going any better? God literally meets with Jacob. He rehearses a sovereign promise to Jacob. He tells him how blessed he's going to be. Jacob responds in worship, and he walks away from that place, calling it Bethel. But oh, how short-lived those moments can be. You know, life's like a roller coaster. Anybody know anything about the roller coaster? Up and down, on the top of the mountain one minute, in the valley the next. Blessed and living smoothly, everything's going good, and then all of a sudden something shifts. That's the way it happened for Rachel. Just as quickly as things had turned around for the better, she's pregnant with her second child. God is appearing to them and speaking to them. Life takes a major shift in the opposite direction. Look at verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. Don't miss the phrase, and there was but a little way. Don't miss it. That quick. A little way. A short time. A major shift. Bethel, the place of promise, becomes Ephrath, the place of sorrow. In one single swift moment, everything that was going perfect for Jacob and Rachel is turned on its head. And the Bible says that Rachel travailed and she found herself in hard labor. We know what it's like to face hard circumstances, don't we? Some of you in this room have faced immense difficulty recently. Some of you are facing them right now. You're in Ephrath. You're dealing with hard things. In the place there in Ephrath where we learn the bitter lesson that God's purposes aren't always easy. Sometimes to be in the will of God, to live out the plan of God, it becomes hard. And we find ourselves, our souls in travail. It costs us. It's painful. It's dealing with disease or illness. Hearing the doctor say, I'm sorry, you've got cancer. And then the resolve that it takes to just catch your breath from the shock of that statement. Trying to survive the soul-staggering blow of loss. Burying the ones we love. Saying goodbye to those who should have outlived us. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're in Ephrath. You're dealing with hard circumstances. You're walking the hard path. Your soul is travailing. Can you see the woman's spot today? What hard things are we facing? Is your marriage struggling today? Have you been betrayed? Have you been let down this morning? Oh, the difficulty that we find in Ephrath. We often find ourselves there in that same place that Rachel found herself, where joy is turned into uncertainty and hope is turned into fear. We lose everything we thought we had. It's hard. It's hard. Don't get me wrong. Rachel's fighting. She doesn't understand how she got from Bethel to Ephrath that quickly. How you can hear the promise one moment in time and then immediately find yourself facing hard things. But she's fighting. If Rachel could only see what the pain will bring in her life, if she could see past this one single hard moment with the eye of faith and get a glimpse of the whole story. Yeah. That's the hard part, isn't it? Yeah. That's the hard part. Seeing beyond the moment. If we could see what lies beyond all of those hard moments, then it'd help us. Right. It'd help us to stay encouraged. Yeah. It was hard to see beyond the moment when I said goodbye to a 27-year-old sister. It was hard to see beyond the moment when I kissed my mother goodbye in the hospital room. It was hard to see beyond the moment when my heart was broken and betrayal. It's hard to see beyond the moment, but if we could just see, if we could just get a glimpse, God, what are you up to? What are you doing with my life? Rachel's fighting. She's fighting to see beyond the pain of Ephrath, beyond the pain of the moment. Pay attention. Even though it's hard, even though it looks like this may be the end of everything, stay with me. A future is being born. A future is being born. Yeah, it's hard. But Rachel's in labor. She's in labor. Ephrath is the place of sorrow to Rachel. But if she could only see past the single moment, she would realize that Ephrath is not connected to sorrow and pain. It's connected to hope. You know what the name Ephrath means? The name Ephrath literally means fruitful. Fruitful. And fruitful it was. Ephrath is actually the ancient name for the city that would later become known as Bethlehem. You can shout if you want to. We all know what happens in Bethlehem. Amen. Thousands of years later, life comes out of Bethlehem. Amen. It's easy to see it then, but is it easy to see that life comes out of Ephrath? Right. God, in her moment of weakness and fear, when it seems like everything's going to be lost, like her future's over, he sends her encouragement to let her know that her story is not over. Somebody needs to hear this morning. The place where you are right now, you see it as an end. But God wants you to know that it is just the beginning.
Amen.
It's a beginning. Something is being born in your life. Amen. There is hope on the horizon of your life. It is not over today.
Amen.
Praise God. God sends that message to Rachel through her midwife. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." Rachel, don't you stop pushing. Your hope is not lost. Your future is alive, Rachel. It may not look like what we think it should look like, but it's not over. You're going to have this son, Rachel. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't let the discouragement of the moment steal your hope for the future.
Yes.
Keep trusting God.
Yes.
Say of God, "Mama, keep trusting God."
Amen.
There is a hope. There is a future. Keep fighting. Don't give in to the lies of the enemy that tell you Ephrath is the end. It is not the end.
Amen.
Ephrath is the place where children are born.
Amen.
Ephrath is the place where tomorrows are promised, yes, where a future does lie beyond the horizon. Oh. It's hard, yes. It's labor, yes. But listen to this preacher today. Rachel, you will have this son also. Praise God. Woo. I might turn Pentecostal this morning. Little Baptist. Rachel's fighting. And we know the fight for ourselves. God, you're saying one thing, but life looks totally different. I hear what the midwife says, God, but this future's costing me. It doesn't feel like life and hope. The mother's fighting. Sometimes our lives just don't look like what we thought God promised us.
Right.
Just doesn't look that way. Verse 18, and it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. Can you feel the pain in her voice? Call his name Benoni. This promise of the future, this child, is costing her her life. It's costing her everything. Midwife, come close to me. Call him Benoni. The name Benoni is a reflection of her fight, of her inward struggle. Call him the son of my suffering. That's what Benoni means. Rachel's saying, this doesn't feel like a promise at all. It's painful. It hurts. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. This moment in your life does not feel like the promise. The sickness, the chemo, the doctor visits, the uncertainty, the sleepless nights, the worry, the fear, the loneliness, the isolation, that doesn't feel like the promise. It doesn't feel like joy. It's sorrow. Call him Benoni, the son of my suffering. Rachel's fighting. She's struggling. But watch what happens when a mother's fight is met with a father's faith. The midwife holding this brand new baby boy looks over at Jacob. And she says, Rachel is gone. Couldn't imagine being in that moment. Just imagine for a moment. Try to put yourself there and imagine the pain in that statement. Rachel is gone. The hurt, the confusion. This was all about a promise. It was all about a future. It was all about a posterity, a lineage. I didn't realize that this promise would cost me the love of my life. She's gone. Rachel is gone, and Jacob's heart is broken. The midwife, as she passes this child over to Jacob to hold, she says, Jacob, Rachel said to call him Benoni. Jacob's heart is broken as he looks down into the eyes of that little boy, Benoni. Benoni. Jacob knows the power of the name. Stay with me right here. Jacob knows the power of the name. Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver, the trickster, the conniver. He has spent his whole life living up to a name. He came out of the womb holding his brother's heel. He tricked the twin brother out of his birthright. You hungry? I got a pot of stew. A pottage. Is that what they call it? Pottage? Just give me your birthright and you can have this bowl of soup. And he gave it to him. Now, I don't know who's the fool there. But Jacob tricked his brother. And then we see him tricking his father through a scheme with his mama, Rebecca, putting animal skin on his arms because Esau was hairy and Jacob wasn't. So he slips into Isaac's room. He cooked and prepared a meal like Esau would have prepared his father. He's tricking, he's deceiving his father so that his father would turn and pronounce the elder brother's blessing, the firstborn elder brother's blessing over Jacob, and he got the blessing. He spent his whole life living up to the name of deceiver. He knows the power of a name. But it wasn't just a few days ago, before this happened, that God reminded Jacob, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob. That's who you were. That's how you lived. But Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. There's power in the name. Jacob, you aren't that person anymore. You're Israel. You're the Prince of God. Jacob remembered those words as he looked down into the face of this newborn baby boy. Call him Benoni. Jacob says no. He will not be called Benoni, the son of my suffering. Yes, it's cost us dearly. Rachel's gone. Hopelessness is set in. One life is gone, yes, but another is born. We won't call him Benoni. You know what we're going to call him? We're going to call him Benjamin. Because he will be the son of my right hand. Praise God.
Amen.
Husbands, you know what a woman needs? You know what a woman needs? She needs a man who will hear from God. That's what she needs.
Amen.
She needs a man who is strong in faith. She needs a man that will step in and say, we can do this together. Amen. We're going to get this done with the help of God. God's got a plan, honey.
Amen.
Don't lose hope today. God's going to get us through it.
Amen.
That's the kind of man that she needs.
Amen.
Our lives will not be defined by a single moment. Our story is the sum of our experiences, not one single moment in time. He is not Benoni. He's Benjamin. The pain of the moment hindered Rachel's ability to see beyond it. But oh, if she could have seen beyond that moment, she would see that God was upholding His promise and that He was establishing a future for this son. Notice the son's future. And I'm closing. Sometimes I find myself worrying over my children. Anybody ever do that? My goodness. The older I get, the worse it gets. I automatically think the worst. I just don't understand it. I've always been a positive person, but the older I get, the worse I get. Where are they going to go? Who are they going to become? What will they do with their lives? Who are they going to marry? We stress over it because we want the best for our kids. I'm certain that Rachel, had she not become overwhelmed in the pain of the moment, would have said and wondered the same things about her son. Where is he going to go? Who's he going to become? What's God going to do with his life? Laying on that bed, fighting for a life, Rachel could not see much future at all. But if she could have seen, if she could have seen, she would have seen that the promises were not broken. That God's promises are yea and amen. She would have seen a bright future for her son, the son of her suffering. What kind of future? What kind of future? God promised a posterity out of which would come many descendants and even kings. That's what God spoke to Jacob. Benjamin, the youngest son of Jacob or Israel, would become later on a vital part in forming the nation of Israel. If you study, you'll find out that two tribes, two lineages were really the foundation of the nation of Israel, Judah and Benjamin. Most modern-day Jews descend from these two lines. The son of suffering was a lineage through which God's people were sustained and established. The tribe of Benjamin gave Israel its first king, King Saul. I wish Rachel could have seen it. I wish she could have seen it. The sons of Benjamin were known as warriors. Did you know that? They were fierce in battle. They weren't cowards. They didn't run from the fight. They were fighters. Just like the mother before them. I wish Rachel could have seen it. But beyond that, the promise spoken to Jacob and to Isaac, his father before him, and then Abraham, his grandfather before him, didn't just include the nation of Israel. Y'all ready to shout? Praise God. By thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The reach of the promise would extend to all nations. Of course, we now know how that would take place. It would take place through the preaching of the gospel of Christ with the inclusion of the Gentiles, all of us. Amen. But I want you to see something remarkable. Somebody tell me this morning, who was the missionary to the Gentiles? Paul. Say it out loud.
Paul.
Paul, the apostle. That's right. He was formerly known as Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted the church, locked up Christians, consented to the death of Christians, but God struck him down on the road to Damascus and changed his life. Amen. Praise God. And Saul became Paul, the apostle. In Philippians chapter 3, after God had revealed to Paul the apostle the mystery of the church, the inclusion of the Gentiles, that out of the two, out of Jew and Gentile, God would take them and build one new man, Amen. The church of Jesus Christ. He revealed that mystery to Paul, and then he charged Paul, you take this gospel to the world. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, and then we're closing. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1. Oh, praise God. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren. Y'all still flipping? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Notice what he says about himself, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I wish somebody would read that next phrase for me out loud one time. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Hallelujah. A Hebrew of the Hebrews is touching the law of Pharisee. Paul the apostle, to whom it was entrusted the mystery of the church, to whom he was given the charge to take the gospel to the rest of the world so that all nations could be blessed through the seed of Abraham. Amen. That Paul was of the lineage and the tribe of Benjamin.
Amen.
Ephrath was not the place of sorrow. Ephrath was the place of life and yes. hope. It yes. came through the lineage of Benjamin.
Yes. Yeah.
My goodness, if Rachel could have just seen beyond the moment.
Yeah.
I'm encouraging you today. Look beyond the single moment of your life. God is telling a story today.
Amen.
He's telling a story. And oh, the story he will tell.
Yes, it is.
Praise God. His ways are higher than ours. Oh, I wish I understood every step. Why this? Why that? I wish I could just get understanding. All I can do is trust the one I know. We used to sing a song. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow
Amen.
In his hands.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We can trust our life to him today.
Yes.
Look beyond the moment. I have a feeling this morning that somebody's in this place who is in the moment. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know if it's loss, if it's uncertainty. You've been betrayed, you've been left alone. There's mothers in this place this morning who are stuck in the moment. You can't see past the moment. God is calling you beyond it. I've got a greater purpose. I've got a plan far beyond anything you can imagine. If you'll just trust me. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for your faithfulness today, Lord. I thank you for every person in this place, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, right now for the mama who is in this place, Lord, and she's stuck in a moment. The enemy has her there, and that's as far as she can see. She can't find victory. Joy has escaped. Hope for the future is fleeing. Lord Jesus, I pray that she has heard the message today. Lord, that she will entrust her future with you. It is not Benoni. It is Benjamin today. If you're in this place and you're struggling with a moment right now, I want you to come to this altar. And if your husband's with you, husbands, listen to me. We need a father's faith today. If your wife is stuck in a moment, she's struggling right now, your child, if the child's with mama, whoever's here, come to this altar. Give it to Jesus. Ask Christ to help you to see past this solitary, single, encapsulated moment. Don't you let the enemy paralyze you here. Step beyond it. God's got a greater plan for your life. More than you can imagine. Are you here today? Would you come and pray with me today?
Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church from Pastor Jonathan McCullough. If you'd like to speak with someone from our church, you can email us at pastor@brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.